Before I was born, my parents had decided that if I was a boy, I was going to be named Richard Melville Hall. And so I was born, and they put Richard Melville Hall on the birth certificate. And then they actually looked at me, and they realized I was this tiny little baby, and Richard Melville Hall is a very adult-sounding name. And so my parents had a sense of humor, and they gave me the nickname Moby, because supposedly I'm related to Herman Melville. But I've never actually hired a genealogist to go back and figure out if that's the case or not. So I assume that I am, because I don't know why my parents would have lied to me about that, but it's never actually been proven. And Moby was supposed to be my humorous joke infant nickname, and now 39 years later, I'm still known by my humorous joke infant nickname. I grew up in a very musical household. My mother played piano and played guitar. My uncle played guitar and recorder. My great-grandmother taught classical composition. My grandmother was a pianist. So I was brought up around a lot of music. And I guess when I was around 7 or 8, I started trying to teach myself how to play guitar and how to play piano. And my mother saw me doing this, so she went out and got a friend of hers who was a classical musician to teach me music theory. And when I was in high school, I started a punk rock band with some friends called the Vatican Commandos. It was really fun because we were just little kids from the suburbs, and suddenly we were playing in New York City and we were warming up for some of our favorite bands. And I also started a very sort of Joy Division inspired band called AWOL. And I made a record with AWOL called AWOL, and we pressed up about 300 copies of it. And we made a record with the Vatican Commandos called Hit Squad for God and made about 250 copies of it. So suffice it to say, these records are fairly rare at this point. And then I went to university and left college and played in a bunch of different bands and bought a little 4-track and started recording music on my own in my basement. And spent a bunch of years, like from maybe about 6 or 7 years, just recording music in my basement on my own, sending it out to record companies and getting no reaction from them. And then I started making dance music in the late 80s and started going to every dance label I could find in New York City, giving them cassettes and trying to get a record deal. And then in 1989, I got signed to a very small label called Instinct Records. And in 1989, when I was signed to Instinct Records didn't even really exist. In fact, when I signed to them, they didn't have a name, they didn't have a logo, they didn't have an office. But nonetheless, I was still really excited to finally be signed to a record label, even if at that point they weren't really a record label. And the first single that I put out on Instinct was a song called Time's Up by the Brotherhood. We released it and it did nothing. I think it maybe sold a few hundred copies. And then I put out my second single, which was called Mobility, which sold 2,000 copies. And the B-side of Mobility was a song called Go. And then a German label called Low Spirit was licensing Go to put it out on its own, and they wanted a remix. And this was right around the time Twin Peaks was popular. And I'd been watching Twin Peaks, and I heard Laura Palmer's theme. And on a whim, I thought, oh, well, I could recreate Laura Palmer's theme and do a mix of Go based around that. And we sent it off to them, and it just kind of developed a life of its own. Because at first, we didn't think anything would become of it. And then slowly, it became this, you know, this huge club anthem. And it ended up being a top 10 record throughout Europe and selling, I guess, close to 1 million copies, and was one of Rolling Stone's top 200 records of all time, which is just so surprising, because when we put it out, we expected it to just be a weird underground club song that no one would actually listen to. The first time I played Go live was in 1991. The version that we play now is actually quite similar to the version that I originally played live in 1991, although in 1991 it was just me on stage with a drum machine, a synthesizer, and a sampler, and now we play it with the whole band.